Hi, this is Paul, and we have had 2 days in the Netherlands, two and some since I've gotten here, and we had a big day today, and I'm going to do this little introduction where we talk about our trip in the Netherlands so far, and then I'm going to add in some video that I took at tonight's event at Clear, and we'll talk about Afe a little bit, who organized all of this, and we didn't exactly know what was coming tonight, but it was super cool, and we're quite excited about it. So we'll make this video now, and then after we make it, I will do some editing and upload it here at Ferdy and Cassidy's house, and then on tomorrow morning, we're off to Germany. So I left Sacramento on Monday, and it was Tuesday I got here, and Ferdy and Cassidy picked me up at the airport, and we came here to the house. And what did we do? What did we do Tuesday? We didn't do anything.
We did nothing.
We just chilled. I took a nap.
You had HubSpot.
That's what's that?
The dinner.
Oh yes. We had the dinner, and so that was wonderful. And then Wednesday morning, Ferdy and I headed back to the airport. Andrew was coming in. Mm-hmm. How was your flight, Andrew?
It was pleasant. I binge watched some things.
What did you watch on the flight?
Okay. So, I watched first Dear Evan Hansen, and that one made me cry, so that was great. Really great being around strangers, but that was...
Crying around strangers
on an
airplane?
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do, yeah.
Nobody hears you cry on an airplane.
Well, it was silent. It was just like, it was tears, is what it was. But yeah, I felt some things, so I was taken away from the plane, because I was feeling the things. And then I watched The Gilded Age, which is done by the same people who did Downton Abbey. And I really liked the costumes. So that kept me entertained. And I didn't want to sleep because I'm like, next episode? And then I was here. And then I was tired.
And Cassidy is the mother of a beautiful, perfect, six-week-old baby. And Cassidy has been Iron Woman, walking in the rain. Charles, how are you feeling, Cassidy? You want to say anything about doing this just 6 weeks after you have given birth to your first child?
I feel fine. I don't know.
No big deal.
Yeah, I feel bad saying it, but it's been fine. It's not so bad so far, so.
Okay.
But no, it's been fun. She's a very good baby, so it makes it easier. And I'm always sort of a goer, so I don't know how to stop. So it's nice to get out of the house and go and do things. So.
Even in a downpour. Maybe it wasn't a downpour.
You're not made of sugar.
Yeah.
As the Dutch like to say.
That's what she kept telling us. You're not made of sugar. So then I went into the city from the airport, and I met up with Job and Afe. That's Eve in English, Afe. And some of you know her from, she's been active on Grim Grizz and in the corner quite a bit. And she sort of organized these 2 days for me. She had written me a very nice letter and really wanted to do a Randall's conversation, but because of my travel this summer and then puppy prison, I wasn't able to do a Randall's conversation with her, so then I said, maybe something that might be better than a Randall's conversation would be if, you know, we could meet in person, and so she organized Wednesday. We had a tour of Amsterdam. Diana, I think that's her name, and her little boy. Almost 2-year-old joined us, and we walked a lot. It rained all day. We walked a lot, saw a number of the sites, and we had coffee and we had lunch, and then we took a canal boat tour, which was really nice to get out of the rain and have some heat. Also, Elias joined us. He had contacted me the day before, and I didn't know him, and he had some appointments with Jordan, because Jordan's event was the same night, Wednesday night in Amsterdam, and so he toured with us, and we just had a really lovely time getting to know each other, hearing each other's stories. And then Elias bowed out before the canal boat ride, and Diana and her son and Afe and Lucas was also with us. Lucas is Aaron's brother, and they all bowed out, so it was just Joe and I for dinner, and Diego joined us, and then you two
made our way.
Showed up
with baby. Mm-hmm. Really cramped spaces in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Job really wanted us to have Indonesian food, and it was delicious. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, anything you guys want to report about coming in and doing all of that? Was it worth it to come into the city and have dinner with us?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I mean, it was always so awkward. You've got this big stroller, and it's a tiny restaurant in Amsterdam, and it's up the stairs, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get there? But we figured it out.
Yeah. It's better than doing nothing.
Yeah, and then we had to swap the tables mid-dinner. Yeah.
And they were both iron women because Andrea was like, had no sleep for who knows how many hours, and yeah. Cassidy has her baby, so it was a big day. And then we had to get back on the trains and a big walk from the train station here to Cassidy and Ferdy's house, and but it was a great day.
Yeah, it gives an opportunity to look on the bright side. I got my steps in.
We all got lots of steps in. And then this morning, we all rode with Ferdy into The Hague and met Afe again and had a wonderful time kind of touring The Hague. Beautiful, beautiful area. Mm-hmm. Really cool to see sort of this center of government. My friend Tim Blackman was from there, so I was texting him pictures of it. And he's actually coming into The Hague tomorrow, so we'll miss him. And we did a lot of touring. We had a lovely lunch. And then we went to Clear. And that's what a lot of the video after this is going to show. And I was kind of fuzzy on exactly how things were and what Clear was. But it was totally cool. We had an amazing evening. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys, want to describe what it was or what your impressions were?
Yeah, it was sort of a church, but they also had a lot of events and things that happened. Like they kind of were like a coffee shop too and a store. And they definitely had sort of that same sense of estuary where they're trying to meet people where they're at, not come to people with an agenda, but just give them space to explore and see what that does to help us on the journey of spirituality and how we try to figure that out. So I found it really interesting and fascinating, and I'm really glad that there's a community in the Netherlands like that that's connected to a church that people can go to and are finding meaning there. Mm-hmm. I think that can be really helpful, especially when it seems like a lot of people have trouble entering that space of church with how secular the Netherlands is. Mm. And in a lot of ways, that's a more approachable way for people who are either non-churched but want an interest and want to start the conversations before they get into the door, mm-hmm. or people who are churched but just aren't having that same sort of openness in the community that they're in to have that community, to have those conversations. That's not escaping online, but in person. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know anything going in, and I was like, oh, we're stopping at a used bookstore / coffee shop / vintage shop before we go to dinner. And, oh no, the dinner's here. So, I mean, I just thought the aesthetic was very inviting of the place, and everyone was so welcoming and warm and kind, and the food was delicious, so thank you for that. After a day of walking, that was very refreshing, and yeah, it was just very lovely to be invited in. It's not like I've toured around places, but it's more special to participate in these sort of, like, I call it like being like homey kind of places, you know. So it was a very homey, cozy place to be invited to. So it was a really nice way to end the evening. So, yeah.
And Manuel, you'll see him on the video. He was there. And Adam from Ireland, who made it out to Sacramento with Mark Lefebvre earlier this year, he was there and met a lot of people from Clear who participate there. Afe had asked me what my favorite food was because she was going to make this dinner. And I refused to tell her because I don't have a favorite food. But her daughter's birthday is tomorrow, and so she asked her daughter what she wanted for her birthday, and so we had chili. and it was delicious. And we had birthday cake, and we sang the Dutch happy birthday song, which
one of the many, apparently.
That's right, which is one of my, it's the only Dutch birthday song I know, so that was great fun. And you guys will see that on the video that's coming, because the leader, the pastor of the place, gave an introduction to the place and explained the whole thing. And while he was talking, I was kicking myself thinking, I should be recording this. This is so helpful for understanding all that they're doing. And then Manuel and Adam came, and someone said, oh, you just missed, you know, what this place is. So I said, well, let me pull out my camera and go through it again. And so then we did record the conversation that we had before we broke out the food and had the birthday cake. And now the whole evening was just tremendous. So anything else you guys want to add about the last couple of days?
No, busy. I hope it wasn't too busy for you guys. You got a lot more trip ahead of you.
Yes,
we're
going to
all climb in a car tomorrow and go to Germany. So
with the baby.
With the baby. Yeah. Bridges and meaning baby will make an appearance at the
That's a reason alone to get to the festival. If you want to see a Bridges of Meaning baby in person, there are, how many Bridges of Meaning babies are there out there now?
Well, two out there and then one on the way.
Two out there and one on the way. Job sent me a message. His wife is in the process of labor at some point. I haven't got another message from him. So that one's not technically a Bridges of Meaning baby because Job was married and meet his wife on Bridges of Meaning. So one of the two Bridges of Meaning babies will be in attendance at the festival. That's reason enough to buy a ticket and attend. So, and she is not a secondhand baby. She is a beautiful baby.
I've been told she's a five-star baby.
Five-star baby. And I'll tell you, that baby walked around good as gold all over The Hague today. And I was like, wow, this is really impressive. So great job.
It's not me. She's just a perfect baby.
Bridges of Meaning makes perfect babies. So.
You heard it here first.
No, I think it was the right amount of things for me to do. Like, not too much, but not too little. You know, it's, yeah, I'm glad to have been able to get it in. And you know, you fly across the ocean, you want it to feel like you're doing things. But yeah, no, I'm really happy that we did a little bit of a tour, a little dinner here and there, and meeting some people. It's a good warm up to this weekend, where I'll probably be meeting a lot more. So
yeah, and well, tomorrow night will be the sort of opening night for the German festival, which is sort of like an open campfire, sort of really casual, so people can meet each other, talk. The speakers will be there as well, so you'll get a chance to talk to them before the day. And that'll be really great. And then Saturday, we have the list of scheduled things, but the night event is going to be open for the public to come in. So if you're in the area and you want to come, but you don't want to come to the whole festival, that will be open. And there'll be sacred harp singing and the Exodus art show that Bastions of Beauty put together. We'll have a video of that to show the artwork, and that'll be playing both days, but it'll be available on Saturday for people to see. So, you know, there's lots of conversation to be had, and I think it'll be great.
I'm sure it'll be great. If there's one thing that I've noticed from last year's festival and then the events that we've had in North America, is people come ready to talk, people come ready to converse and to listen, and they will hit the ground running. They always do.
Well, Teddy's been doing a really good job with doing the monthly conversations, like open conversations on the Breakwater Discord. Mm-hmm. And so we've already gotten connections made and
good. The
conversation started. So I just imagine it'll all flow even better than last year, just finally getting to meet these people in person and have more conversations. It's always different in person, always so much better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get a lot more depth and fullness of the people that you see in these little boxes on your screen.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. Okay, so what's coming will be what I recorded at Clear, and so enjoy that. And I haven't looked at the the video of it yet, but it's probably decent. The sound should be okay. So, yep, thank you for watching, and next reports will probably be, I got to catch a train right after that festival, so we'll see if I can get some video out in between. But if you're in Europe and you have this weekend available, by all means, get to the festival and say hello to us, get to know some people, and I think it's going to be a great festival. So, all right.
Cheers.
Here you go. You're on.
Welcome in Kleur, Color. We are a neighborhood church, and we have an inspiration cafe. And the basic philosophy of the inspiration cafe is when you have a real encounter with each other, with yourself, with another, or with more, then there's inspiration. So we do boundary coaching, we have 2 times a year encounter workshops, and we have, in the meantime, 15 encounter groups. From high sensitive, about spirituality and thinking, about spirituality and emotions, and about financial matter. So 7 years ago, we started in a neighborhood and tried to, with a small group, and they were called by God, to share his love without an agenda. And we started in the neighborhood and with free garden jobs. We did moving, when people want to move from one house to another house, we help them. Without they don't have to give us something. So without an agenda, for free. And from one step in another step. And then there was a restaurant here and say, you're doing so much for the people in the neighborhood. I have this place for you for free for 8 months. So we started in this place. And now we have already for 3 years the whole cafe, 200 square meter. And it is a commercial rent. So we are already for 3 years in this cafe with a commercial rent. It's a miracle, a kind of miracle that we're still here because we don't have government support. We try to be faithful to our story, to embody the agape love. That's a Greek word for love. The love that is directed to the value of people. So we try to embody that, and that's a real adventure. So the theology of an adventure, we have also of one of our values in our culture. And we try to be faithful to our story in embodying that kind of love. And we have this cafe, and there's also a chapel in the fridge. So there was a family out of Italy, and they could not believe that there was a chapel in a fridge with a hook for the meat also in the fridge. So they came with the whole family and making pictures in the fridge because I never saw a meat hook in a chapel. And there is also a massage chair. So what was my joke again? Oh yeah, when you let yourself massage and you close your eyes, then it's like angels are massaging your back. Thank you, angel. a lot of people are coming here. We are an ecumenic church, so as broad as possible, they feel at home. And we always say you can only begin the adventure where you are. So we help people to see where they are in life. From that spot you can go on an adventure. And it's always bigger than you think. And you feel resistance when you want to step into an adventure. So we help people also with their resistance, that they want to stay in their comfort zone. And we make them their comfort zone as ugly as possible. So realistic. So that they see the longing in their heart for more, and we help them to go on that adventure. And sometimes you talk with atheists and they say, well, I don't believe in God or in Jesus. And then I ask them, what kind of image do you have of God? And then I say, I don't believe in that image also. And then we are together. Atheist, and from that time we can make another step. So it's very interesting, And it's very difficult because it's a small church, but we are shaping each other. And yeah, a lot of variety are coming here, world views, but it's interesting. It's a very big adventure. So thank you for your attention.
And what's the, so I've heard on Sunday you have an open heaven.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So on Sunday we have an open heaven, and we have a kind of structure, a clear format. And sometimes we say, hey, share where you are in life. So what touch you, a documentary or a movie or a story or whatever. So people can share that. And another person is sharing a spiritual text. Other persons are sharing Bible verses. And and we are in one big fellowship. We need each other. So sometimes I see something that because I'm like this, I don't see something. So I need sometimes an other worldview to make my worldview bigger. Mm-hmm. And that is the real adventure. And it is not that you gave up your own spirituality, because I have still a love relationship with Christ, and I appreciate more what he did for me. But you are, sometimes you make him too small. He is a wild lion, like C.S. Lewis in the Narnia stories, the lion, the wild lion. But is he not dangerous? The children are asking that story. Yeah, he's dangerous, but he's good. And I think that's a real adventure.
No, I'm very excited about seeing this, and Afe has told me a little bit about it, but she didn't tell me a lot about it. And this, I'll explain a little bit about how all of this happened. I started a YouTube channel. Well, first I had a YouTube channel, and I'd put sermons on my YouTube channel when people would miss church because they'd want to see them, so I'd do that. And then Freddie, a member of my church, wanted to do a show. So we have the Freddie and Paul show, and that's been going for like 7 years on my YouTube channel. And even Andrea has never watched the Freddie and Paul show. Shame on her.
Oh, why?
Very few people watch the Freddie and Paul show.
I was vulnerable and honest, and you just totally made me no longer trust you.
But Abe has watched the Freddie and Paul show, and she knows the Freddie and Paul show. And then Jordan Peterson was starting to make waves. And even though it was sort of a little political what was going on around him, what I was reading comment sections, and I began to notice that people were saying things of Jordan Peterson, especially when he started his biblical series on Genesis. They were saying things like, oh, I never thought the Bible had any credibility, or I never thought, I'm curious about the Bible because of Jordan Peterson's biblical series. And I thought, that's interesting. And I couldn't find a lot of other ministers who wanted to talk about it with me. So I thought, I was making the Freddie and Paul show already. So I thought, I'll make a YouTube video. And then to be honest, only 3 or 4 people watched the Freddie and Paul show. Me, Freddie, Freddie's mom. and then maybe I could get someone else to watch it. And then I made a video about Jordan Peterson, and within a couple of days, about several hundred people watched it. And that was a very strange thing. And then people began to write me, and they said, can I talk to you? And I'm a pastor, so of course you can talk to me. I talk to people all the time, but they don't live in Sacramento, so I'd say, well, let's use Zoom. This is before the pandemic. Hardly anybody used Zoom, but I said, let's use Zoom and we can talk. And I was having private conversations with people online. And then people would say, do you remember what you said to me? And I'd say, no. And I noticed on Zoom that you could record the conversation. So then I started recording conversations so I could share them back to the person so they could remember what I said. And then word got out that I was having these conversations. And so then with conversations that were appropriate. A lot of people, the conversation gets personal, so it's not appropriate to share on the internet, but some of them are more generic. And so I began sharing those conversations on my channel. And I also started a local meetup group where most of the people are atheists, they're not Christians, but they wanted to talk about Jordan Peterson. And so they would come to my church and we would just have a circle like this and we would talk about whatever the people wanted to talk about. And then more and more people began contacting me for conversations. And then I knew that I couldn't talk to everyone who wanted to talk to me. So I recommended that they start groups to talk to each other because I couldn't talk to everyone. And so that continued to grow. And then the members of my local meetup group said, we want to support other people having conversations. Let's start a Discord server. And I had no idea what a Discord server was. I'd never heard of Discord. But I said, okay. And so Joey and Rick and Tyler started the Bridges of Meaning Discord server. And that's where I met Manuel. He was on the Discord server. And a number of other people came onto the Discord server. And then people began having conversations on the Discord server. And about that time, Jordan Peterson, he got sick, so he kind of disappeared from public life. And John Van Donk, my friend from, he grew up in the Netherlands. He emigrated to Canada and lived in the United States for a while, was a Christian Reformed minister. He and I would talk about these groups because we would help start groups together. And we said, we should really rebrand this, not about Jordan Peterson, but, and so then I called it Estuary, because Estuary in California, I live by a major estuary in California, which is the San Francisco Bay. So you have the water come from the snowpack in the mountains, and it mingles with the salt water of the sea. And estuaries are very important ecosystems, and they're very productive. So I said, because I'm a minister, people had questions about church. I said, Estuary is church adjacent. You don't have to believe the things that people believe in church to participate. Nobody is going to put this stuff down your throat. All we're going to do is have a conversation. And that's all Estuary is about. And so then we had a little process that we recommended to the groups. People can use it. People don't have to use it. And so then a bunch of these Estuary groups started popping up around the world. And then we had an Estuary group in Germany. And last year, Cassidy and some of the members of the German Estuary said, we'd like to do a conference. Would you come if we paid your airfare? I said, sure. And then John Van Donk said, I want to come too, and I want to go through the Netherlands and talk about Estuary there and meet some people. And then some people in England said, we'd want you to come here. So last year I did this thing. And then Cassidy said, oh, we're going to do it again in Germany. Could you come this year? I said, sure. And I said, well, it's easy to fly into the Netherlands because they live here. And so I'm staying with her and her husband and their beautiful baby. And Afe gave us this wonderful tour of Amsterdam yesterday and The Hague today. And then she said, oh, I want you to come here. I never know. I basically tell people, okay, I'm coming. You set up what we'll do. And so that Afe had said, oh, I want to have a conversation with you. And I have so many people asking for conversations, I don't always have time to take everyone. So then she wrote me an email, and I knew I was coming, so I said, I'm kind of busy right now, but I'm coming to the Netherlands, so maybe you can set up something here. And so then here we are. And so she sent me a link to it, but if you just look at a website, it's hard to understand. You really have to go to a place and listen to the people, and with your introduction, both the first one and the one we were able to get recorded, now I very much see... I have a much better understanding of where she's at and what you're doing here. And I'm very excited about this because in many ways, this is very estuary-like, but you've also sort of integrated it into the main mission of your church. So I'm very excited about this. This is super.
Thank you. It's nice to see you also live. Because we on Sunday we had a series about inspirators, and Afe shared you were her inspirator. So it's nice to see you on screen, but it's also to see you and smell you. Yeah.
Well, it's exciting to be here, and I hope that you can get the Pope and Bono here sometime too. We've got this here, so, you know, Bono next, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know what your format is. I didn't prepare a formal presentation, so if you have any questions, I'd be fine to answer, or what's your thinking?
When I sent it around to Marcel and some other people that you're coming, I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this place and what we're doing and how we're doing it, and like from Andrea as well. I call it places of koinonia, where we just come together and talk about these things, and you don't have to be a Christian, but the Christian faith is how we operate here, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if these places seen as church going is going down, and I don't feel comfortable at church, but I feel comfortable here, maybe like going back to these kind of pre-church roots of Christianity, is that a way forward? I don't know what that was, kind of the thing that I wanted to talk about.
Well, so before I did any of the YouTube things in Sacramento, when I got to Sacramento, I pastor a church that was started in the late 1950s, early 1960s. The group that gathered to plant that church, they were young people when they came there. They had families. They had children. When I came in 1997, they were all in their 60s, and now they're all in their 80s. And I knew when I came to Sacramento, we had that church. We had another church that our denomination had planted in the early 1990s. And myself and the other pastor said, we want to plant more churches in Sacramento. And one of the things that was very clear to me is that we need to plant a lot of different kinds of churches, because different kinds of churches enfold different kinds of people.
Yeah.
And I was sharing with your husband that I have a friend in Tucson, Arizona named Rod Hugan, who he was sent by our denomination to plant churches, and he was a complete failure. He tried to plant a church and nothing happened. The denomination was giving him a subsidy to plant a church. He had about 9 months of subsidy left, and he went to the denomination and said, I can't do this, I'm a failure. And the guy said, oh, the paperwork to give the money back would be too much. Just do something good for the next 9 months. And he found a buddy who was a Baptist. So, you know, well, Christian Reformed, Baptist, where those work together because they don't agree on infant baptism. But they had other things together. And so they actually planted a church together, and that church is a lot like this one. It's called The Village in Tucson, Arizona, and it started with serving dinner. So my friend liked to cook. And so every Sunday he would make a meal and invite anybody who wanted to come. And instead of having pews and rows and a pulpit, they had living room furniture and tables and wall coverings like this. And they would have a meal together, and they would talk, and in that case they would sometimes have a sermon. And so they were a church, but they were but they had a very different style. People didn't join the church for life. They only had made a commitment for a year, and within that year they had to make certain other commitments. Maybe if they were struggling with alcohol, they would say, I'm going to try to be sober this year. And so people would make commitments according to whatever it is they needed to work on that year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that church is kind of affiliated with my denomination, but they also, they baptize infants and adults, and so they're really struggling along the fringes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, part of why, so one of the things I'm doing with Estuary this year is I've been doing Estuary groups in the evening, and many of the people who come to the Estuary groups are atheists. But they also have a lot of questions. One woman with her boyfriend visited the Vatican because they were just going to Italy. And she went into the Sistine Chapel and she began to weep. And she didn't know why she was weeping, because she had never gone to church. Her mother was very New Age, and her mother said, I think you were a nun in a previous life. And she didn't know what to think of that. So, but then when she came to the group, that was, everyone in the group can sort of share what they want to share. It sounds similar to your open heaven. And she shared that with the group. And, you know, so Estuary has been a place where people can ask questions and explore
Now, it's church adjacent, so if they want to find out what the church thinks, they can walk in and ask. Mm-hmm. But nobody is trying to tell them what they should think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I see that very similar to this. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially for people who have perhaps grown up in church and have had conflicts with the church, to have a very open, welcoming space of non-threatening exploration can be very helpful for a lot of people. So I'm very excited to see this place. It's very eclectic, it's very artistic, it's very welcoming, and I'm not surprised that you've been able to keep going, and I really pray that it can continue to grow and you can engage with more people. It's very exciting.
Yeah, and for me, the social aspect is not only a social aspect, it's spiritual, it's spirituality. So that you are in an adventure with the person sitting next before you, and that at a certain moment you say, oh no, it's a witch, God is not there, or whatever you can say, or an atheist, God is not there. But if you are very interested in the other and his life and what is longing and where he is in life, then it's very adventurous that at a certain moment you see that God's Spirit is working there. And you can work together with God's Spirit, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that is, so every encounter is very adventurous. But dare to ask the questions, dare to be where the person is, you know? And I think that is agape love. That is the core of agape love. Yeah? That you are so longing for value, or see value in the person, or that you have the assumption that there is value, that you are not intimidated by his label.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that is what the world is putting on people, the label. But there is God is not seeing that label. You know, he's seeing the heart. And I think that is very interesting. Welcome, Maya.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Maya.
Nice. Well, I think that's very true. And, you know, for me, getting onto YouTube, it was an adventure. When I made a video about Jordan Peterson, because like I said, 4 or 5 people watched the Freddie and Paul show. I thought maybe 10 or 15 would watch the Jordan Peterson video.
Mm-hmm.
But it has grown, and I talk to a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, and people have to go at their own pace. And with many people, you just sort of, I was talking to a friend yesterday who is working in his church with a lot of young people. And I told him that ministry and pastoring is a very patient thing. And I usually say it's similar to gardening, because no gardener makes the plants grow. You know, it's God gives the rain, God gives the sun, God made the soil, you know, God did all of that. What gardeners do is that they try to create an environment for the plant. Sometimes they do a little pruning, you know, as a pastor, sometimes you'll have to say a hard thing. Sometimes you do a little fertilizing, but it's God that makes the plant grow. And human beings are far more complex than plants. And their stories and journeys are far more intricate. So walking next to people and their stories. The thing that surprised me about my channel. So Andrea, I'll put Andrea on the spot again. Sorry, Andrea, when you go on the road with me, this is what happens. So Andrea had sent me an email at some point, early days of my channel. And then later, when she was doing her own YouTube channel and she approached me, she said, I sent you an email. And I thought, oh no, did I answer back? And she said, yes, you did. And so everyone comes with their own questions. And so as a pastor, you learn to take each person one at a time. And, you know, I don't try to. So my denomination, Christian Reformed Church, it's Dutch Calvinist. You know, many of the people have Dutch last names. But part of that Dutch Calvinism is the belief that, you know, the transformation in people's lives, that's God's work. God makes the transformation. I can't transform people. I can't make people Christians. I don't make people not Christians. Generally speaking, I can harm the process or I can help the process, but it's God who actually brings the growth and does the transformation and calls the people and has them go and do what he wants. So for me, the Dutch Calvinism was a way to let God be God and to consider myself just a small part in anybody's process and to just be gentle and kind and patient with their stories as God continues to work in their lives.
Facilitating.
Yeah.
If I can add to that, I mean, there's definitely a growing secularism, not only in the U.S., but particularly in Europe, but there's also a growing number of, like, deconstruction within the church. And for me, that's sort of where I came from, the place of a person who never left but had all these questions and couldn't find that place within the church to ask them in a way that felt healthy or hurt. And so coming across Paul Channel and having the space where you can have these conversations where it wasn't necessarily the agenda to convert, but to really engage with questions honestly is super important. And, you know, it took me from a non-denominational Christian to an Eastern Orthodox Christian. And there's sort of beauty in that path and seeing how a lot of different paths are happening within Estuary. And it's one reason why we do the festivals. We try to support the in-person community. The Germans have been really active in creating that in-person community on their own and doing these monthly meetings. And so having these events where it can bring Paul and Andrea and other speakers in the circle and adjacent to the Estuary circle to share their experiences and meet people is great. But what it really does is foster people within their own communities to come together and make those same connections so that they can meet on a monthly basis and have a place where it's not just going to the internet to find someone they can talk to. They can go to someone's house and really live in real community. And we've done it 2 years in Germany, but next year we're actually planning to do it in the Netherlands so that we can help plant and grow an estuary here to create that community so they have an in-person space. And there's a lot of interest with that. So I think it's just really exciting. It's cool to hear your mission because I think it is very similar to Estuary. And, what we hope to do for people who are not churched or even churched but don't feel comfortable having these conversations within those walls. Like there's a place to go that's a little healthier than maybe antagonistic YouTube or highly apologetic religion circles. Yeah, I was very happy to find this place because Paul kept pushing me. I'm not your pastor. You need to find somebody real. Not just on the screen, eh?
So it's your fault.
It's yeah.
People get very annoyed because I always tell them that people will write me and say, but you're my pastor. I said, I'm not your pastor. Your pastor, we cannot be pastor like this. You cannot have an internet pastor. And then they get upset with me. But I tell them, your community has to be local. In real life, face-to-face, embodied. You can listen to my YouTubes all you want. That's fine. But you have to know and be known. And I can't know you through the internet, really. So I'm glad you found this place.
I know, me too.
I found it.
Yeah. Definitely.
And it's difficult. Still, it is difficult.
Yes, it is.
It is. It is so hard to... I can't explain, but...
Yeah. A lot of times the in-person communities are more difficult than actually the online spaces because they're messier and you're dealing with real people, but they're also much more rewarding and much more long-suffering because you're not disembodied screen people on screens. It's lived and breathed things, and you see much more of the fullness of life than what can be catered to by an internet persona.
Well, and I very much agree with that, in that you begin with the open door because people have wounds, people have trauma. People have reactions, and so they're very sensitive at first. I sometimes call them emotional burn victims. If you ever known a burn victim, you can't touch them because their skin is damaged. Our skin is made to be soft. I mean, so much, our skin's our largest organ. It's vital for our health. But if your skin gets burned, it can't keep out the bacteria, get infected, people can't touch you, people can't embrace you. We all need touch. And so the first, at first it's open. But then after we get a sense that they, I am loved, I can trust, it's at that point then that a lot of the hard work has to happen. Because the scars, the wounds, Eve was telling me about her work with horses and with people with trauma. And so you have to begin somewhere, but at some point, and usually only in real connection, can you actually begin to do that harder work of, well, here are my wounds. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, a child, we all know that if you raise a child and the child never hears the word no, the child is going to continue to go out in the world until they find a no. And sometimes that's a very difficult place. And so part of growth is learning to say yes and learn to say no. And so much of growth, marriage, for example, my wife and I have been married for 35 years. If you're going to maintain a marriage for a long period of time, you're going to have to learn to say yes and no, learn to negotiate, learn to what to hold steady on, what your values are, and what to be flexible with. And all of that growth requires real community. Because on the internet, somebody on a screen says something you don't like, unsubscribe, you know? Write bad things about them on Twitter. If you're in a real community or a real family, you know, people try to unsubscribe from their family, but those wounds stay in them. Yeah. You don't unsubscribe from your family. Yeah. And so that's why in-person community where there's real consequence is foundational for longer healing and restoration.
You told a little bit your story, your history, and you're also in a real adventure.
Yes.
So, what I wonder is where the last years, or I'm not sure what the time frame is, but where did you felt the most resistance? Because then you know that you're in an adventure. You know,
yeah.
You're leaving your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Where do you feel the most resistance, and how do you deal with it? Dealt with it.
Well, anytime you do anything on the internet, there are lots of people to tell you you're doing it wrong. There's one guy right there, which is fine. I had many years in local ministry, which was really important for this. And my father was also a minister, and my grandfather was a minister. My grandfather ministered in English and Dutch. In the United States, my father pastored, planted a church in an African-American community outside of New York City. And what I took from those men were, it's very hard to do ministry, to connect with people, if you don't have a sense of what's me and what's you. Because in ministry, it gets all tangled. And what that means is people are allowed to disagree with me. People are allowed to be angry with me. And I do a lot of work with homeless people, and many of these homeless people have mental health issues, they have substance abuse issues, and when I work with these people, and if I don't give them what they want, they might threaten me, they'll cuss me out, they'll say bad things about me, and you get used to that. And you, again, you develop a thick skin, but hopefully not a burned skin, so that people can say what they want to me, they can tell me I'm wrong. And for my part, I'm not threatened by that. I know who I am. And if we have a difference of opinion, I'm totally fine with that. And I often tell people, if I'm doing it wrong, go and do it right. And prove me wrong by doing it better. And I would love nothing more than to be proven wrong by someone improving on what they've learned from me and now taking it to another level. Because then I will look at that and I'll say, praise God, good work has done. And I think that can only be learned through time and usually with experience and with a degree of pain. I have been a very unsuccessful, in many respects, I've been a very unsuccessful person all of my life. I have failed at far more than I have ever succeeded. And to the degree that I am experiencing this adventure right now, which is something that I never would have imagined, it is because my own little church, for all of my strengths and weaknesses, has stuck by me, and I've stuck by them. And so, for example, when the ministry thing took off and when we started doing Estuary, they never, many churches would have said, "Pastor, you're spending too much time with random people on the internet. You need to only spend time with our little group." But my church always said, "No, Pastor, you are our minister to, you are our ambassador to them. We can't go and do this. You do this for us." So then when the Estuary thing started, I said to the church, I said, "I can't, if I have to spend all of my vacation time doing Estuary things, I'm going to be in trouble with my family." So I asked if I could have 4 weeks of Estuary time a year where I could be away. And the church said yes. And so that's part of the reason I record this, because I'm accountable to them. And they want to make sure that I don't just go to Europe and take pretty pictures of Amsterdam. But that I come to spaces like this and share. But in terms of dealing with people, I watched my father do this with people, because he was always secure in enough himself and he could work with a wide range of people because he knew who he was. And if you know who you are, then everybody else can be everybody else. And even if they have boundary issues, well, they can have boundary issues, but I know who I am. And I know the lines between us, so.
Normally, I'm not so quiet.
No. Yeah.
Only when you see an angel in nature.
Yes. That was a different story.
Yeah.
Maybe Manuel, you can... Manuel is one of my biggest critics, but I love him. And he...
And I love him.
I do. I do love him.
Not bad.
Well, it's easy. It's easy. The internet grows on conflict. People love to watch conflict. And so... YouTube, if you look at YouTube, everybody likes fights because it gets a lot of clicks. But, you know, there's a time to fight, but you can't live in a fight. And so, I don't know, maybe you can tell a little bit of your story, because your story is pretty dramatic. And, I mean, I can't take credit for your story. I maybe had a small part to play, but this larger community that sometimes we call this little corner of the internet, that was a part of it. And if you're not willing to, that's fine. I don't know if you're interested in it.
No, I'm willing. So yeah, I discovered Peterson and Jung. I started opening up to the spiritual aspect of life, because I had to deal with why people were stupid, effectively. that allowed me to understand a little bit where they were coming from and what they were participating in. So, yeah, and then I found Van der Klee, and especially at the start, that was really useful for me to have a second perspective on what Peterson was doing. And then he introduced Verveke, right, and I checked out Verveke, and I was like, oh, there's this whole story that puts everything in cohesion. But it was also... because you were following him getting his series out, right? And so it's this long series. And then, like, I'm listening to this series, and I was like, there's a bunch of useful stuff, but, like, a lot of stuff doesn't make any sense. So I ended up on the Verveke server trying to figure that out, and then he did a meditation series. And that meditation series opened a bunch of stuff up in my head so that I could get out of my depression. And then, well, I kind of... wanted to figure out, well, how do you build something, right? Like kind of what Estuary is doing, but I came from it from another angle, because Vivek has this idea of an ecology of practices, right? Like what are the things that you need to do in order for you to be a healthy person, right? And so we took that concept and we went into the practices, and then as well, what makes this work? And then one day Jonathan Peugeot came by and he said, well, the best thing about church is that you have to go to a place with people you don't like, and you have to spend time together. And we're like, oh, yes. So that opened this whole new door to this idea, right? Like, okay, how do you spend time together? Like, what's important for that? And so that's where I'm kind of interested in what's going on here. But I went through this whole evolution, and I wound up like, okay, like I should check out church, because like if I say community is important, like, and everything that's Christian seemed to match up with all the things that I found out. So I was like, okay, let's go and participate. So that's where I ended up. And the church I'm going through is like an African immigrant church. So it's like, I just went from my head into...
Yeah.
Into life, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah. So you're dancing in the church now?
Yes. Also outside sometimes.
When it's dark.
No, I saw him doing a little bit on the tracks as well.
When the Spirit is upon me.
Man. But I think that's to your point that this is all an adventure. And I, you know, the part that I play can be just a small part. It's not important that someone subscribe to Paul Vanderclay's channel or necessarily start an Estuary group. That people are on different journeys, and if I can be a part for a person for a time and help them get to the next step and to the next step, he won't say it, but he has grown miles since when I first encountered him on the Bridges of Meaning Discord. And God has done so much in his life. And the fact that I can take just a small credit, even if I'm doing lots of things wrong, I'm very happy with that.
The glory goes to God.
The glory goes to God.
That's right. That's what you're doing wrong. Like,
But that's also the dynamic of an adventure. You play a unique role.
Yeah.
That nobody else can play, but the adventure is not about you.
That's right.
You're
That's right.
a part in the adventure.
That's
the
right.
The adventure is not playing around you.
Yeah.
So, well, I kind of want to answer your original question, if that's okay to go back.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I just have come here for the first time today, but I love the aesthetic of this place, and like about this being a church, and like what do we think about this as a church? It has that framing, like almost like a feminine, homey framing, and so that's one of the things I do on my channel, is looking at trying to understand the feminine and how I participate with that. And one of the things, as we learned from Peugeot, is that it sets the frame and creates a space for things or adventures to happen. And this feels like a space that things can be created, like the plants even. Some of them are fake, I know, in the other room.
Well,
regardless, it's the aesthetic, so we'll go with it. It's just very, so I imagine it's a very special place, and it's a glory to God that it's here.
So,
thank
you. Yeah. You're like Quakers. You sit and you wait, and then when something happens, it emerges.
Yeah.
Do you have Quaker background at all? I wondered.
No, but we go in silence also.
Okay.
In this coming weekend, and we have also a groep, And then sometimes we sit in silence for a long time, waiting what is coming, you know? Mm-hmm. And then this is a fight against that, you don't feel too uneasy, you know? But when you wait and you try to dare to the uncomfortable feeling, you don't run away from it, then something beautiful is coming. And that's very interesting. So dare to go through the uncomfortableness. And what I want to say about the symbolic world, we have there a picture of the supper, because that is our the supper. It's
okay.
A little bit our, how do you say it? Bildmerk, branding image. And that is also the story of Clark Kleur, because we live in a shadow land, and the full color came onto the world, on the world stage. He is coloring our heart, we are coloring each other, and we are coloring the neighborhood together. So it's color is not only a verb, but it's also a zelfstandig naam word.
Noun.
A noun. And that's also a mystery. So we believe Christ as a mystery, because we are deep down inside also a mystery. And what is a mystery? You learn to know each other, or you learn to know Christ, but you will never know him enough, or how do you say it? Control him in
right.
the knowing.
Right.
There's always more. There's always the future, the resurrection, the new heaven, the new earth. And it can inspire your thinking, but you cannot control it totally. And the picture, he is saying, come and meet and come to eat or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the picture. So we believe that at a certain moment, it's our invitation, you know, that come meet us and eat with us. But we believe that the symbol of Christ sitting there, that when the Spirit is coming in, that it come alive, you know, that he is inviting the neighborhood. So that is also a kind of symbolic thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Because a hungry neighbor never goes, or doesn't go on adventure quickly.
Yeah, so you first eat here. Een hongerige buur gaat niet snel op avontuur. So first you eat here, and then you go into the adventure. You know? And sometimes people say, oh yeah, but you are hungry, and then you go on an adventure. Okay, but then we can talk about it. What do you see in it? You know?
Yeah. It makes me, there's a lot of people in our circles that like J.R.R. Tolkien, and you know, the adventure of the Hobbit. It begins by the meal in Bilbo Baggins' house.
Yeah.
They get the meal, and then they go out on their adventure.
They sing a song around the fire.
Oh, yeah.
The hobbits.
Yeah.
And they sing a song, and they go towards their dragon.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But with the dragon, there's the goal. So in the grow group, we also go towards our dragon. And then our dragon is what is not allowed, what you think is not allowed in your life, or your difficult emotions. So walk towards your dragon, because there's the goal. So that's also interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's also Jordan Peterson.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't call him Jordan Peterson. We always call him Professor P. Because sometimes he's a little bit notorious here in Holland.
Yeah.
So Professor P. And I think he will pee also.
Yeah.
What do you
think?
No, okay.
Jordan, people are people. And again, you know, according to the question you asked me before, I don't get, people make their own decisions, and they suffer the consequences of those decisions, or they benefit from those. That's other people. And so when people do those, that's what people do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be upset by that. I don't have to judge them.
Mm-hmm.
I have to just decide how I will relate.
Yeah.
And we have this strange thing in the world right now that want us to, you know, I'm a Christian minister, so the only person that I have to answer to is my master.
Mm.
And that's it. I don't have to answer to all of you. Now, in a marriage, I have to answer to my wife. In a church, I have to answer to the leadership. But I'm not Jordan Peterson's boss. And he does what he does, and I pick and choose from what he does and work with that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
Interesting character.
Yeah. Inspiring player.
Yeah. Is anybody hungry?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Smell the food.
I thought you would never ask it.
So I have chili con and chili sin carne for the vegetarians, if there are any. I'm gonna start putting things on plates, and then just, yeah, you can come and tell me what you want. Maybe that's easier because there's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So if you just come and grab your thing.
Okay.
Your birthday, you go first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.